Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And thank you for joining us today for episode 61 from the Eastern Files. The program is dedicated to memories, stories, and articles appearing in Eastern publications such as Repartee, the official magazine of the retired Eastern Pilots Association, and books by former Eastern employees. We want to keep the great history of Eastern Airlines for all to share and keep the legacy of this proud airline. Today's From the Eastern Files brings you one of the earliest contributions to aviation. Eastern was always a leader in adding new ideas and aircraft among the airlines. Today we tell you about how Eastern's first great transport aircraft was built. But first, let's listen to an Eastern commercial.
Thank you.
And now from the Eastern Files, we take this history from Eastern Air Transport's newsletter, News Wings, March 1931, from that issue. And it concerns building an airliner is the title of the article. A great airliner does not come into existence like an automobile going through an assembly plant. Rather, it is built up like a steamship. And it shows the construction of one of the most luxurious airliners in service today, the Curtiss Condor. When Eastern Air Transport was studying the Condor before a decision was made to purchase a fleet of them for its passenger system, its engineers carefully went over every detail of the plane. The inherent strength and stability built into it are demonstrated in the construction of the aircraft. Notice, if you would be able to see this, the steel trusses and beams of the fuselage, the insulated cabin ceiling, the metal wing center section, and the care with which the plane is fitted into one powerful unit. Every piece of metal that goes into the fabrication of the Condor is put through complete metallurgical and stress tests and will stand strains many times as great as they will be called upon to carry. The size of the Condor, well, the cabin has a volume of 865 cubic feet, and it has a headroom of over 6 feet. The plane is 57 feet, 6 inches long, 16 feet, 3 inches high, and has a wingspread of 91 feet, 8 inches. It is powered with two geared Curtiss Conqueror motors of 600 horsepower each, and it's fitted with these three-bladed metal propellers of 13 feet in diameter. Fully loaded with 21 passengers, baggage, and fuel, the Condor weighs 17,900 pounds, and it has a high speed of 138.9 miles per hour, with a cruising speed of 118 miles an hour. It lands at 47 miles an hour. It climbs at 925 feet per minute and has a cruising range of 825 miles. These figures are based on actual flight tests made with full loads. Now, contrary to common opinion, the biplane surpasses the monoplane in popularity. Figures show that during the first 9 months of 1930, there were 2,710 planes built in the United States, of which 945 were monoplanes and 987 were biplanes. Now, turning to another article about the Condor, this is when it had been modified, and this is 2 years later. I just read you information about 1931. Well, they improved the Curtiss Condor, and this is titled The New Curtiss Condors. The Curtiss-Wright Corporation issued the first information recently regarding the fleet of new Curtiss Condors it is building for operation along the eastern seaboard by Eastern Air Transport. The first of the fleet, it was announced, will fly early in February. This is in 1933. And after a licensing test, will be delivered to Eastern Air Transport for complete test by its operation department. Eight other Condors will emerge from the factory soon afterward, according to R.S. Damon, president of Curtiss-Wright Airplane Company, and will be put in service by Eastern Air Transport and American Airlines, Eastern Air and Transamerican Airlines. Five of the magnificent new planes will be delivered to Eastern Air, the other four going to Transamerican, it was said. They are now nearing completion of the St. Louis, Missouri plant of the Curtis Company. In 1933 Condor has been developed and built by Curtis Wright engineers, added by the suggestions and advice of officials and engineers of Eastern Air and Transamerican Airlines. These companies, Mr. Damon said, with years of experience in airline operation, assisted us to incorporate many features of construction to lower maintenance cost, increase passenger comfort, and otherwise improve the airliner. The new Curtis Condor cruises at 145 miles per hour, carries a payload of 3,200 pounds, and the plane will cruise at, just mentioned, 145 miles an hour and make a high speed at 170 miles per hour, it was disclosed. This cruising speed is 20 miles per hour faster than other multi-engine transports in general use on the airlines today. Its gross weight will exceed 8 tons. 15 passengers, 2 pilots, a hostess, and nearly half a ton of baggage, express, and airmail are provided for. The engines will be 2 air-cooled Wright Cyclones of 700 horsepower each, geared to turn 3-bladed propellers at less than engine speed. Slow propeller speed greatly reduces cabin noise. Under full load conditions, the plane will have a service ceiling of 15,500 feet and an absolute ceiling of 17,500 feet. Using only one engine and flying with full load, the service ceiling will be 3,000 feet. The rate of climb at sea level with both engines will be 850 feet a minute, Mr. Damon said. In general appearance, the new Condor is a modified aircraft with its 2 engine mounted in outboard nacelles in the lower wing. Its upper wing measures 82 feet from tip to tip, and the lower wing is slightly shorter. From nose to rudder up, rudder tip is 48 feet, 10 inches, and the craft is 16 feet long, equal in height to the average two-story building. 4 fuel tanks of 75-gallon capacity each are located in the upper wings away from the cabin, and fuel feeds by gravity to the carburetors. The 300 gallons of gasoline give a cruising range of 560 miles. A very simple fuel system has been installed, having only 18 fittings and allowing any tank to feed either engine. The landing gear retracts, only a small section, retracts into the back of the engine nacelles with only a small section of the tires exposed, thus eliminating the drag caused by a fixed landing gear. Retracting is done electrically, but it can also be affected mechanically by use of a lever. 3 separate devices inform the pilots of the position of the landing gear at all times. Wheels are fitted with mechanical brakes and low-pressure tires. Passenger comforts received a great deal of attention. Reliable high back chairs with deep upholstered are arranged in 5 rows of 3 chairs abreast, all facing forward. Some chairs may be reversed in order to play bridge or carry on a conversation with greater ease. Wall sockets beside the seats allow tables to be set up for the hostess to serve meals, or for card playing and writing. Seat belts of a new type are provided, adjustable to the girth of the passenger and readily openable. The cabin interior is finished with a combination of leather and fabric. Now, this is pretty much all that the issues of the news wing relates to the Curtiss Condor, but we want to do a little comparison now to the aircraft built today, and especially one that Eastern used to favor, and that is the Boeing aircraft. But recently, we, your host, and others at the 2018 Retired Eastern Pilots Association Convention in Charleston, South Carolina, had the pleasure of going out on a tour of the Boeing plant, and we viewed the Boeing 787s. Now, I know you can't remember probably all of the numbers that we talked about, especially the speeds and the length of the wings and so forth, but we want to tell you about the Boeing 787 specifications that we saw on the hangar floor in a tremendous, huge hangar. There are three different variations of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, and as of March of last year, 2017, all three of them are now flying. The Boeing 787-8, the 787-9, and the 787-10 are described in what we're about to tell you, as well as bringing large jets, jet ranges to a medium-sized jet. The Boeing 787 also matches the speeds of larger jets, with a cruising speed, Mach being a comparison in percentage of the speed of sound, of 0.85% of the speed of sound. This is delivered with an environmentally friendly fuel saving in the area of 20%. Now, weight is being reduced on this aircraft, on this 787-10, by the fact that up to 50% of the aircraft is built using composite materials, including the fuselage and wings. To put this in perspective, compare the Boeing 787 with Boeing's current top-selling aircraft, the Boeing 777. The fuselage is constructed using single-piece barrels joined end-to-end instead of multiple panels. This reduces the need for around 40,000 to 50,000 fasteners. Additionally, it increased strength, allowing for higher cabin pressures. The Boeing 787 carries self-monitoring systems that are able to report to ground-based computer systems on the state of its health, of the aircraft and its systems. One-third of the deficiencies come from the new technology engines. Boeing has chosen two engines to work with, the General Electric GENX and the Rolls-Royce Trent 1000. Both engines move from the old bleed air system of powering aircraft systems, such as air conditioning and startup, to electrical, thus moving to a more electrical aircraft. This is weight saving as well as less of a power drain on the engines. Both engine types have an identical interface, allowing operators to fit either type of engine when required. The engine nacelles also feature chevron trailing edges of the casing to reduce engine noise. For the first time, Pratt and Whitney have not had a launch product, as it is believed they could not make the business case work to develop this kind of engine. An active gust alleviation system, similar to the system that Boeing built for the B-2 bomber, improves its ride quality. Boeing, as part of its Quiet Technology Demonstrator project, experimented with several engine noise-reducing technologies for the Boeing 787. Among these was a redesigned air inlet containing sound absorbing materials, and redesigned exhaust duct covers whose rims are tipped in a tooth pattern to allow for quieter mixing of exhaust and outside air. Boeing found these developments made the Boeing 787 significantly quieter both inside and out. A special toilet has been designed to accommodate wheelchair passengers. A 56 inch by 57 inch lavatory has a movable wall so that two lavatories can be converted to one to allow access. And how about performance? Well, here's some numbers for you. And if you can remember any of the numbers of the Curtiss Condor, these greatly exceed those numbers. First of all, the seating of this aircraft, the 787-10, has a maximum seating capability of 440 people. Its length is 224 feet long. Its wingspan is 197 feet with a 32 degrees sweep back. Its height is 55 feet high. The width of the aircraft is 18 feet wide. The maximum takeoff weight is 560,000 pounds compared to about 17,000 pounds for the Curtiss Condor. Quite a difference. The maximum landing gross weight is 445,000 pounds. The range in nautical miles of the Boeing 787-10 is 7,635 nautical miles. The max speed of the aircraft is designed at 0.90, 90% of the speed of sound, but it loves to cruise at 0.85. The ceiling of the aircraft is pressurized to allow for a ceiling maximum altitude of 43,000 feet. The engines, as we've just talked about, there are two GE or Rolls-Royce engines, however the customer desires. They are rated at about 75,000 pounds thrust each. Now, don't know what the Condor, the Curtiss Condor, sold for back in those days. The Newswing article didn't really talk about the cost of the aircraft. Would be interesting to find out. But I can tell you that the Boeing 747-10 is priced at $306 million U.S. dollars. Now, I've got a couple of folks that are on the line. I'll open their microphones, and perhaps they can share some of the information that they, too, had the pleasure of viewing. I'm going to open the microphones of Dorothy Gagnon and also Don Gagnon. Just a minute. Let me reach over here and click your microphones on and just say howdy if I can find out how to get you on board. There you are. Hey, Dorothy and Don, welcome to the show. Okay. What do you think about
these amazing numbers?
Huh?
We're listening to these amazing numbers that you're talking about, all the things that the new 787 does compared to the poor little Curtiss Condor of years back.
You think the engineers and the airliners had any thoughts that a product like the 787 could be in the future of aviation? I don't think so. It's kind of like a lot of folks still have a hard time comprehending UFOs, I guess. But Don and Dorothy, what were your impressions of the Boeing plant in Charleston?
I was totally in awe. I could not believe that something that big could fly, first of all. And, of course, I know it can. But the facility, the one hangar that we saw, and they have several hangars there, was was immaculate, clean, not too many people walking around, and very quiet, and very massive. And I was just thinking about the gross takeoff weight of 560,000 pounds. That's around 275 tons. That's a lot of weight. And I noticed that the wings, they looked so narrow. Long, but narrow.
They call the winglets. They will use winglets to decrease the wingspan and improve efficiency over short distances. But the raked wingtips is optimal for long range flights. And they almost look like bird wings, you know. They're very narrow toward the tip of the wing.
Yeah, I noticed that, too, and at the factory. You pretty much gave all the statistics that I had written down here, thanks to Dorothy's magic fingers, as she was scrambling here at about 10 after 3. But,
well, you know, what I like about the 787s also is the fact that you can try to get more nonstop flights because it's just the speed and the efficiency is made to go longer and further so that you're not hopping on many planes at one time. You're just getting on this one to take you nonstop.
Yeah, you know, the speed at the maximum speed, they've designed it, and they've tested it at that speed because they advertise it, and the max speed is 0.90. But when you get a little bit faster and you approach the speed of sound, you get all sorts of air breaking the way it should not flow across the wings. It should flow evenly, and you have a separate separation. They call it boundary air separation, I believe, as I recall a long time ago. Boundary air separation, and you get a little eddying currents across, and you kind of get a rough ride. And, of course, to get to the speed of sound, you're in a supersonic transport aircraft, which I don't know whether Boeing has got one on the drawing board or not. They probably do.
Neil, did you say that you had experienced at one time flying from the West Coast to the East Coast sound barrier?
No, the fastest I've been in the, as a matter of fact, it was a 727 that I was flying from New Orleans up to New York. And it just so happened that I was riding in a jet stream, and my average ground speed was about 840 miles per hour. So that's ground speed. That's not airspeed, of course. And so if I were 880 miles per hour in the air, it would be over supersonic speed. The Mach 1 is supersonic. And but this was the airstream that was pushing me along toward Boston. And, boy, I tell you, it was Boston. It was New Orleans to Boston. And I tell you, that airplane, I couldn't believe the little digital mileage turning over on the DME as we were recording our speed. But it was phenomenal. We had probably about a 250 knot tailwind, and but that's what you can get in a jet stream if you're riding in the center.
You know what's interesting, too, is that this plane can seat anywhere from 242 to 335 passengers. Well, you know, United Airlines has a 787-9, and they have a different number of passenger seats than the Qantas or the Air France. Air France has 276, and so they vary in who's buying how many seats. So
yeah,
I would imagine
the 787-10, from what the numbers I got out of off the internet, says it's designed for a maximum number of 440 passengers.
Right. That's if they purchase it, I think, though, Neil. I think they have the option, like some of these others, not to get the full amount of seats. Maybe as the seating increases, so does the cost.
Yeah. And don't forget, they have a stretch version,
right,
of about 24 feet. Yeah.
Right. What was amazing about the plant was the number of that we saw. We only saw the one, remember? So that one had like four on one side that were being pieced together like Lego blocks, and each crew was either outside or inside. And as Dawn said, very quiet. Weren't a ton of people running all over the place. However, there were stories high, what was it, four or five stories high, of all these offices with all these classrooms that people were in at the time. So we were taking up one of them with our REPA group, but we don't know if the others were being in training classes either for all of this work that's being done. I would imagine they have periodical seminars that these people have to take in order to keep continually being updated on the newest and the greatest of what they're doing.
What do they put in these composite materials on the 787 to be lightning resistant?
Well, you remember Ricardo was, he mentioned some kind of metal strings like that conduct. I don't know. Maybe they were copper. I don't know what it was, but
yeah, they conduct
that's embedded
it out
in that airplane composite construction.
Yeah. I thought that was very.
It was very interesting, and just to him telling us about the fiberglass and the way that they don't just put the same thickness of fiberglass throughout the whole plane. Around the doors are made more, around the wings are made more, around the tail, where the others are just probably the general. But that was interesting as well, because you would think that the whole plane was all done fiberglass with the same thickness and throughout the plane, and it's not.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
Yeah. And right now they're having a hurricane coming, blasting the area, I guess, and we read on the internet about positioning a lot of those aircraft out to Everett, Washington.
I mean,
Washington.
If our listeners listen to our program on Monday night, we have the news broadcast on that we'll mention, as well as some of the other interesting news on Boeing.
I have it on radar right now, and the hurricane is just, the outer bands are just coming across North Carolina and parts of South Carolina.
Wow.
It just now starting to get the outskirts of it.
Yeah. Well,
I hope they got
as
many as those. I mean, we saw a ton of Boeing airplanes out on the yard. I mean, that yard was filled with a ton of them. I can't imagine how many they had to move to get them out of the way for the hurricane.
Yeah. And all of those belonged because they had the logo painted.
Right.
The aircraft were painted in the customer's logo design, and they were sitting out there waiting to be delivered, I guess. And so they have to take care of those airplanes for the customers because of the price of that airplane, $306 million. Can you believe
that? Right, and it's possible that the customer hasn't even signed off on. Remember, Ricardo said that the customer is the very last to test that plane and sign off in order to get the contract sealed and delivered. So it's possible that they haven't even been signed off yet either, which would mean a great loss to Boeing if they have any destruction.
That's right, I'm sure they have some kind of insurance for weather and before delivery, and I would imagine that's covered. But, it still amazes me that the Eastern's first really airliner for passengers was considered the successful Curtiss Condor. They had the Curtiss Kingbird, didn't seat as many people, but the Condor sat had a seating capacity of 19 people. Can you believe it? Compared to nearly 400 or four, whatever the customer wants, I guess.
Right, and that also was cargo too, wasn't it, Neil?
What's that? The
didn't they have a separate one that they use for cargo?
Yeah, yeah, they sure do. Yeah, 787 cargo airliner. So it's pretty impressive. Well,
sure,
we're about to run
is.
Out of time, and keeping our Eastern family informed, as you know, is the greatest importance to this radio show. That's why we're here on Thursday, and you can join us every other Thursday when we broadcast old-time radio with the big bands, which Don Gagnon is the host, and I work with him. And so we want to invite you next Thursday to listen to the band of Mr. Artie Shaw. We broadcast again the old-time radio series at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I hope you listen, because you'll hear some fantastic music.
That's going to be fun.
It is.
It's going to be fun. Great music and a good show. How about Monday night, Dorothy? Can you tell us what we're doing Monday night?
Monday night we have What Happens to My Luggage at Airlines. And don't forget, that follows with the next episode being the annual EAL Radio Show Hall of Fame with Captain John Engel. So that's going to be another great one to honor his memory, followed by another author, Neil Bascom, the escape artist. And don't forget, we have coming up in sometime in October, perhaps November, we're waiting for Captain Ricardo to let us know. He's the Boeing gentleman that we were just talking about, Ricardo Traven. He's also an F-18 a test pilot for the fighters. So that's going to be a very interesting program. We've got a lot of great ones coming up, so the listeners, please be sure to listen. You'll enjoy them all.
That's right, Dorothy. Don, thanks for being with us today. And folks,
oh, yeah.
Do you have a story?
Joanna.
Yeah, do you have a story, our listeners, you would like to share with our Eastern family? We'd love to hear that. We'd certainly like to hear from you, and you can contact us for putting it on from the Eastern files, or perhaps you have some great music that you want to listen to, and we'll consider any band suggestions or music suggestions, country, western, whatever. Just let us know, and you can always get in touch with us at host at EALradioshow.com. That's host@EALradioshow.com. So, until next Thursday, when you hear Artie Shaw, we'll sign off as we do with each broadcast by saying goodbye, Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.
Goodbye, Eastern family. We really love you, Eastern.
Goodbye, Eastern. We love you.